Hello, my friends. Welcome back to another Bite-Sized Blessings. Today, I want to talk with you about the book we are reading in my book club right now, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I'm not going to waste any time. I'm just going to jump right in with this because it's so good. Think and Grow Rich is a popular book. Many people have read it, and many of us have even read it more than once. In fact, it may be sitting on your shelf right now. But if you have read this book and you have not yet manifested wealth, whatever that means to you, whether it's financial or the wealth of love, the wealth of joy, the wealth of meaning or satisfaction in your life, then you have not mastered the basic principles that the book has put forth. Because as I've said before, just reading something is not enough. You need to study. You need to learn. When you're reading a book that you really want to take the principles and make them a part of your life, you have to commit to it, just like you would in school if you were making a commitment to studying a textbook. So as we have been engaging with the beginning chapters of Think and Grow Rich, I've seen that the author is talking about the foundational elements that you need to get the wealth into your life that you desire. And in this case, they are talking specifically about financial wealth, riches, money, cabbage. They're talking about attracting money unapologetically. And so the first thing that you need to attract riches into your life, according to this book, is what they call a burning desire. Now, they also refer to this as a definite chief aim or a definite purpose. And they say in the book that it is not enough to just wish for something. It is not enough to simply pray for something. It is not enough to want something badly. That you must have an intensity that feels like burning. It is a sensation that is akin to an obsession around your desire. And you have to want this to the point of excluding all else, that you know this is your thing and it's going to happen. It has to be your singular driving force and your laser focus. That is a burning desire. So if you don't want it bad enough, you will not get it, according to Think and Grow Rich. And Napoleon Hill's research into the wealthiest people has shown this. I want to tell you a story about a time that I had a burning desire. When I was in my early 30s, I had an obsession. My then husband and I had built a small house and we had begun to start our family. From my house, I had a view from the neighborhood of a hilltop where my developer was planning a new development, an upscale development with custom homes, very large houses, and I became obsessed with building one of those custom homes. Every time I looked out the window, I saw that hilltop and I envisioned my house on top of it. I knew that I would live there. I talked to the developer about living there. I talked to my husband about living there. I envisioned it. I made it a part of my future. I collected magazine clippings. I made a list of all the things that were going to be inside my house. I researched plumbing fixtures and lighting fixtures. I knew what the staircase would look like. I looked at tiles and the kind of siding that was going to be on the outside of the house. I looked at the design of the outside of the house. I planned it. I knew there would be stones. I knew there would be bricks. I had photographs of what the pool would look like. I had pictures of landscape architecture. I thought about all of the details of my kitchen. I knew the appliances that I would have. I knew the colors that I would use to paint the walls. I knew what the trim would look like. I saw the interior doors. I had planned the entire house, even down to the doorknobs. And I had a driving force pushing me toward that house. And I knew that I was going to get it. There was no alternative. I knew that I would be living on top of that hill. And when I had my third child, the circumstances lined up so that we could be the first family to build a house in that new neighborhood. And we did. I got the house. I designed every spec and we lived in it for about 11 years. So I know how it feels. I know what it's like to have a burning desire and to have something come to fruition from that burning desire. It became my reality. I know how it works. I have felt that before. And I'm sure there has been something in your life where you have felt that same feeling, whether it's something big or something small. That's what you're going to have to learn to tap into to continue to manifest things in the future. Now, at the time, this was my dream house, and I got it. And since then, my life has changed, and I have new dreams and new ideas and new burning desires. And I have zero doubt now that my burning desires will come true. They will be in my reality because I know that they are already a part of me and that my higher self already has the things that I now desire. I just have to do what Think and Grow Rich explains, and I'm going to get into that a little bit further for you. So cultivating a burning desire is the first step, but that must be combined with other things to start you off. The burning desire must be combined with faith and with a positive emotion. One of the interesting things that got my attention when I began reading this book, and I believe this is my third or fourth reading of Think and Grow Rich, was that Napoleon Hill mentions there are things that are not directly stated in the book. There are secrets, if you will. And the reason why these things are not directly stated is because the person who is ready will perceive these inferred concepts as they read the book. In other words, when you are reading this book, you have to read between the lines. And I think this is what trips people up when they are reading this book. It's probably the reason why you have not gotten rich if you have read the book. And then what happens is that people say, oh, it doesn't work. But it does work because it has worked for many other people. And Napoleon Hill says it works for you if you are ready. And in order to be ready, you need to have these three things: the burning desire, the faith, and the positive emotion, all combined. You understand the idea of a burning desire. This is an all-encompassing obsession about wanting riches to come into your life. And you can use this for other forms of wealth as well. But let's just say, for argument's sake, you want the cash money, because who doesn't? And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. So do not apologize for wanting wealth in your life. Financial riches are your divine right, according to Think and Grow Rich. If you do not believe that, then you will not see riches coming to you. So the first step is to be able to believe that these principles are effective and that they are correct. And that brings me to a little bit on the faith element. So your thinking is very important. It is the most important part of the formula. You must have the correct mindset, a mindset that allows you to have the burning desire and that allows you to have the positive emotions, what they call in the book, the constructive thoughts, and to combine that with your faith. And faith is simply belief. When you have faith in something, you believe that it will happen, has happened, or is happening. Here's where I have found something in between the lines that I want to share with you from the book, one of the secrets that I uncovered. Because when we talk about belief, it is very common to focus on the act of moving into the state of convincing yourself of something that you don't feel is realistic. And a lot of people fall into the trap of forcing themselves to pretend something is true that they don't really believe is true. And this is where you can go wrong in applying the formula. For think and grow rich means that what has to take place is something that is known in the entertainment industry as the suspension of disbelief. So not only do you need to believe that you can be rich and have those things you desire, but you also have to disbelieve that you can't have what you want. You have to stop believing in the opposite of what you want. So it's two things that need to happen simultaneously. You're not just focusing on believing, but you also have to actively look at what you don't believe. And that's where you have to make the most important change. This is where you have to suspend your disbelief. You have to say, I'm choosing to believe, and I'm choosing to get rid of the part of me that does not believe. Think of it this way. Picture yourself in a movie theater, and you are sitting in this theater watching a movie. You've got the surround sound. You've got the screen larger than life. You've got a three-dimensional world unfolding all around you, and you are a part of it. And as you are immersing yourself in the experience of this movie, you begin to feel that you are there with the characters. You begin to feel like you are a part of it. Everything that happens, you're in the scene, and the movie feels real to you. These are not actors acting. They are people taking part in a real life experience. That's how it feels. It feels real. You believe the story. You're there. And you believe every second of what's happening and unfolding on that screen. And that is exactly what the producers and the directors and the actors in the movie want you to feel. They want you to feel like it is real. They want you to have suspended your disbelief. They want you to be in a place where you believe 100% that this is happening. The story on the screen is actually happening. It's real. And as you're watching it, you're right there with it and you feel it. And it is real as can be. You could say the same thing happens when you're reading a really wonderful book. Try to think of a time in your life when you have felt this way, when you have suspended your disbelief and you've totally gotten lost in something and believed it was real. And maybe when it was over, you were sad. You know, the kind of movie where you have that feeling when it's over and you're leaving theater and you just don't want it to be over because that means it's not happening anymore. That is exactly the same feeling you need to cultivate when you are working to manifest riches in your life according to the principles of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Except that you're going to stay in that feeling the whole time. The whole time that you're working on the principles in the book, you're going to stay in that suspension of disbelief. You're going to be in 100% belief the whole time. And that's just the beginning. There's a lot of amazing information about the miraculous mindset tools that have helped people like Henry Ford, Steve Jobs, other major CEOs and inventors, all the top thought leaders in the world to skyrocket to success. The formula that all of the richest people in the world have used is distilled in this book. And this is pretty amazing to me because we really have at our fingertips all of this knowledge that every single person has access to this kind of learning. And I think what happens to us as we read these books is, number one, we're just reading the words. We're reading the literal words instead of going deeper and going in and reading between the lines and engaging actively with the text. And that is what they say in Think and Grow Rich, that you have to read between the lines. They tell you that at the outset. Because that's the case for any book. You must read between the lines. You must make it meaningful to you. You must go deeper so that you are not just reading words with your eyes. You're studying concepts with your brain. And that's what I teach you how to do when I go through a book with you in my book club. So I just wanted to share a little bit with you from Think and Grow Rich because this is such an important book. I want everyone to have access to this. It has sold over 80 million copies around the world and people are kind of obsessed with it. And that's for a reason. But to actually get it to work in your life, you've got to go all in. You have to suspend your disbelief. You must have the burning desire, and you must combine that with your positive, constructive thoughts. This is the first step, and of course, there's a lot more to it, but that is certainly enough to get you started. And of course, if you'd like to join us, it's never too late. You can dig into this book or any book together with us in the group, in the community. And you can do that using the link in the show notes or by going to my website, mitzicampbell.com/book club. And I'll finish with this. Do not ever be ashamed of wanting what you want. If you want to be rich, own it. Because that only way of cultivating the burning desire is to feel uninhibited by what you desire. Never feel ashamed of what you desire. You want what you want for a reason, because it is for your highest good in some way to get that thing. Want what you want in confidence. And if there is something that you desire, that means there is a future version of you that already has it. And your desires are your destiny playing out. And if you learn how to align and be in the state where you are not blocking those desires, you are fully believing in them, then you are golden. And as they say, you've got to believe it to see it. And I want everybody to have what they want. I want everyone to be happy. I want everyone to have love. I want everyone to have money, abundance, prosperity. I want everyone to have freedom. And we can have it. Because guess what? Life is not an apple pie. Just because you get a slice of life doesn't mean that there is any less for anyone else, because this is an infinite prospect. The availability of opportunity and possibility is infinite. The field of potential is unmeasurable. It is unlimited. So wrap your mind around that and you will be well on your way. And if this inspired you in some way, then I would love to have you share it with a friend, because this stuff is the stuff of life, and we all deserve to have the lives we want.